All right. So let's move on then. Let's see. We're at 9:36. I have a couple other messages I brought for me. One of these messages actually was delivered to my friend, beloved me, who is in the room now. So he's very, very familiar with this message. Basically, what happened with him is that he had an experience a few years ago where he was pulled into the real world. And by pulled into the real world, I just mean that this happened unexpectedly for him. And he had a wonderful experience that lasted quite a while. And then at one point, the experience ended. And I've known a few people. Oops, Laura Blue has his hand up. Let me finish just this intro, Laura Blue, and then I'll hand it over. I've known a few people that have done this, have had these experiences where they go into the real world. The people I know that have done it, it's lasted, it seems like, from about 10 days to about 9 months. But it's not a permanent experience. They come right back to listening to the ego again. And then what seems to happen is they really want to know, you know, why did that happen and how do I get back there? So that's kind of the question I asked Holy Spirit when my friend Beloved Me was sharing his experience. I went and asked Holy Spirit, you know, why do these experiences happen and how do we get back there once we've had these experiences? So in just a moment, I will read the answer that Holy Spirit gave. But first, Laura Blue, please take the mic or share your message. Oh, Lord Blue, where does the ego end and God begins? The real answer to that is, and this may not be an answer that you love, but the real answer to that is there is no ego, there is only God. But let me word that another way. What we are is the Son of God. Let's just stick with that term. What we are is the Son of God. That is what we are, period. That is what we are. And that is why what we are is a creative force, because what we are is the Son of God. The ego is an idea in our mind. The ego is simply an idea in our mind. And you can see the ego as a filter. And that is why we are able to create experience through the ego, through that filter. If we are focused on fear, we can create a fear experience. But there really is no ego doing any creating. It is always, always, always the Son of God. It's just the Son of God creating through a filter, creating a type of experience. And the only question we need to ask ourselves is, am I having any fun? You know, am I enjoying this ego? And the letter that we read at the beginning of this session, we absolutely know that that woman is not having any fun. So what we need to realize is I'm not having any fun, and so I want to use my creative power as the Son of God differently, which means I don't want to be sending that power through this filter anymore. I want to send my power over here through this clear space. And whenever I catch myself sending my creative power through this ego filter, I want to shift. So the ego doesn't really end because the ego doesn't exist. It's just an idea in the mind, but it is an idea in the mind that creates experiences that we aren't having fun with anymore. And so we're just changing the way we are doing things. Anything else before I move on? All right, Laura Blue, I love you. Thank you for your question. It's been a long time since I've had a question from you. That was like, you know, the olden days. All right. Okay, let me read this this answer that was given to my friend Beloved Me. The Holy Spirit said, "The work to heal the mind is conscious work because the ego operates within consciousness." Let me read that again. "The work to heal the mind is conscious work because the ego operates within consciousness." Now, that's an important opening sentence. And I know Joe is here. I know Joe has also had an experience. I love Joe's experience when he was, I believe, in prison at the time. you know, what happened with Joe and what happened with my friend Beloved Me and what happened with, you know, many other friends is that these experiences just happened to them. They just suddenly happened by what we call the grace of God. And so you know, the question then comes up, you know, how do I get back to that experience? And what the Holy Spirit is pointing out is, this for now where you sit, this is an experience that you are going to have to work on. This is an experience that you're going to have to work on in the conscious mind. And the answer is an answer we've already seen tonight. The reason why is because you are the Son of God, and right now you're creating your experience through this filter called the ego. And what you need to do is shift the way you're creating your own experience in order to get back to this pure experience. It's pretty simple. So what the Holy Spirit is saying is the work to heal the mind is conscious work, because the ego operates within consciousness. What we have to do is let go of this filter. That's what we have to do. Let go of this filter. The Holy Spirit continues. Your prior experience was a breakthrough. A breakthrough of light into a consciousness of darkness. It was an experience that came upon you through your willingness, as it could not have come in any other way. But because you have not yet willed to let go of darkness. Notice how the Holy Spirit is right away saying, you are the Son of God, and what you ask for, you will receive. The Holy Spirit is saying, because you have not yet willed to let go of darkness, the experience could only be temporary. You must experience everything that is in your mind because you will it to be there for the purpose of experience. So Holy Spirit is telling you right off the bat, you are not a victim of your experience, right? We know this from the Course. You are not a victim of the world. You're having this experience because you are the Son of God, and you have willed yourself to have this experience. So since you have willed yourself to have this experience, you need to receive the experience. It's that simple. It's what you asked for, and so it's what you shall receive. Let me read that a paragraph again. Your prior experience was a breakthrough of light into a consciousness of darkness. It was an experience that came upon you through your willingness, as it could not have come in any other way. But because you have not yet willed to let go of darkness, the experience could only be temporary. You must experience everything that is in your mind because you will it to be there for the purpose of experience. Then the Holy Spirit continues. In order to return to the experience of light as a permanent experience, you must be willing to let go of the experience of something other than light. And what we just talked about is when these fear thoughts, attack thoughts, defense thoughts come in our mind, and we let ourselves focus on them, let our mind spin and spin and spin on them, we are giving our power to them. In other words, we are willing for those experiences. We are willing for those experiences. We're saying, I want a fear experience. I want an attack experience. So the Holy Spirit is saying that you must be willing to let go of these experiences if you don't want to have them. Because if you don't let go of them and you keep willing for them, then you are going to have them because you are the Son of God. It really makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. So, in order to return to the experience of light as a permanent experience, you must be willing to let go of the experience of something other than light. This requires more than wishing. At a conscious level, this requires work, which is the mental act of consistent willing. And what we just saw in the steps that I shared with you is Holy Spirit literally taught us how to shift our will from willing for darkness or willing from fear over to willing for light and then staying there through trust. The Holy Spirit literally taught us how to shift our will. And now the Holy Spirit is saying again, this is work, this requires work, but it is the mental act of consistent willing. It's conscious work. It's a conscious decision. The obstacle to doing the work is fear. But this is a bit of a joke when seen from the perspective of light, because fear itself is nothing, and so it cannot be a real obstacle. Fear is simply thought within the mind, which can be willed away through work. Now, the woman whose letter we read at the beginning of the session, you know, we could see some fear in there. Do you remember the paragraph when she was saying, does I need do nothing really mean do nothing? You know, can I just sit around and focus on the Holy Spirit and expect to be provided for? And then she listed all the things that she feared, right? If I do that, I will lose my house. And she listed all the things that she feared. Well, the Holy Spirit is saying that that fear is the obstacle to watching your mind, because as soon as you start thinking about that fear again, you actually shift right out of your miracle-mindedness right back into fear. And guess what? You're still the Son of God. But now you're willing through that filter again. Fear is your obstacle, but fear is nothing real. It's just a thought in the mind. But every time you choose that thought in the mind, you start willing through the filter and you bring yourself those experiences. Lord Blue, yes, please, go ahead. Laura Blue, I'm going to have to let that question go because I don't know about the bridge. I'm sure it's referring to something on the news probably, but I haven't been watching the news since June. So let me just answer the question. I don't know about the bridge, but let me answer the question in another way. People do ask questions like, you know, do we will for disasters? Do we will for cancer? Do we will for all of these things? And the real answer to that, not at the individual level, but at the level of mind, the real answer to that is yes. But what you don't want to get into is level confusion. You know, you don't want to walk up to a person across the street whose, you know, child has just died and say, well, you must have wanted that. You know, you don't want to do that, because at the level of the individual, that is not true. But at the level of mind, all right, at the level of mind, yes, the mind is asking for these experiences. And that's a true statement. And again, you know, you want to realize this because you are a part of that total mind. And you want to start watching your mind and watching how you are participating in the types of experiences our one mind is asking for. All right, so let's get back to what we were doing, though, just to stay on topic. All right, so again, the obstacle to doing the work is fear, but this is a bit of a joke when seen from the perspective of light, because fear itself is nothing, and so it cannot be a real obstacle, right? It's just a filter. It's just a choice. It's just an idea. Fear is simply thought within the mind, which can be willed away through work. The work can also be called decision by faith. One must look at thoughts in the mind and ask, is this thought the light and love and joy that I seek? Is this thought the light and love and joy that I seek? If the answer is no, the thought must be let go through decision by faith. Now, that's really important also, because again, if fear is the greatest obstacle, you know, I'm really worried that if I turn things over to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to lose my house, right? Or at least, you know, the woman that we're reading the letter from tonight. If I turn this over to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to lose my house. But we've already learned that miracle-mindedness comes about when we shift the mind from the fear thought, I'm going to lose my house, to the trust in the Holy Spirit. But when I'm a beginner, I don't have any proof that that's going to work. I don't have any proof that by shifting my mind from fear into trust and holding firm in trust, that things are going to work out okay for me. This is why it's called decision by faith. We must put faith in this process, and it works, it works, it works, because you are Creator. If you can talk yourself into making this decision, if you can talk yourself into letting go of fear, getting in trust and holding there, you are focusing your creative power through trust instead of through fear. And so it will work. It will. But you must get yourself to make that decision. And faith is where we all begin. It's faith in the Holy Spirit that gets us to make that decision and hold firm to that decision. So the work can also be called decision by faith. One must look at the thoughts in the mind and ask, is this thought the light and love and joy that I seek? If the answer is no, the thought must be let go through decision by faith. You make the decision not to believe the thought and not to listen to it through faith that it isn't true. This may seem difficult at first because some of the thoughts may seem very true to you. But this is why I call it work, and this is why I say it is done through faith. And what I found really helpful to me is to always remember what I am, a creator. To always remember what I am, a creator. Because when I remember that I am a creator and that I am creating my own experience within this illusion, then it's a whole lot easier for me to make that decision by faith. Because again, like I said, it's logical. It's logical. It makes sense to even my thinking mind. That if I am a creator and I'm thinking with fear, I'm creating something I probably don't want. If I can shift over to trust and stay there, although I may not know the specifics of what I'm creating, it's going to be something that's going to feel a whole lot better. And in fact, Holy Spirit once told me, trust is the stepping stone that never fails. Trust is the stepping stone that never fails. Creating through trust is perfect. Yeah, Cheryl, please take the mic.
Hey there, Regina. You're a great teacher, you know that? I love your voice. Anyway, this is what came to mind when you said something about shifting your mind, and it's hard for us to shift the mind because there's no proof. And what came up for me when you said that was, what did come up for me? Oh, okay. You're saying decision by proof. And what I was thinking of as you said that was decision by practice. Not that I'm making you wrong or anything. I'm just saying what came up for me, because what I saw over the years practicing the course is, as I was, okay, let's say I was feeling a grievance or a fearful thought or judgment or whatever, and especially when I first started the course, you know, I would choose the Holy Spirit, do a prayer, one of my prayers from the course or whatever, and I would see that it worked. It worked in the sense of, you know, feeling a peace of mind, and thus led to healing in that situation. So what I saw over the years is that as I was willing to practice, you know, choosing the Holy Spirit, you go, wow, this works. And then you forget for like a week, a month, or 6 years. And what am I trying to say? I'm going to give this up in a minute, Regina, but you know how the Course says the greatest obstacle to peace is the desire to get rid of it. And I think that we don't often realize how much we want to get rid of peace by holding grievances. And I guess what I saw over the years with practice, with the practice of continually wanting to choose the Holy Spirit, you see, wow, it works. It works in the sense that you have peace. And what happens, I think, is you begin to realize that peace isn't a little gift. A tranquil mind is not a little gift. And so through practice, you begin to want to choose it more and more and more and more. And yes, trust is a major factor. We have to trust what we're putting our faith in. But I saw with me, as we're willing to practice this stuff, we really begin to see that it works. And as we, again, experience a tranquil mind more frequently, we are more willing to choose that. Anyway, that's what I just said, and what came up for me. Okay, yeah, the practice starts to develop trust, exactly. Okay, thanks, Regina, so much.
Yeah, and Cheryl, I totally agree with you. In fact, this decision by faith thing, although it's always a decision by faith, it's tougher in the beginning because you haven't yet done the practice, and so you have not yet seen the results, you know, those first steps. But you're absolutely correct. After you get into the miracle-mindedness state, you do begin to experience the results of your miracle-mindedness. And then, of course, the faith, the trust is much easier because now you do have evidence. Yeah, Michelle, Tina, please take the mic.
Wow. When I grew up to be a teacher of God, I want to be just like you. This is amazing. This has been phenomenal. The way I developed my association with my, I call them my spirit family, is I would test them. Things like, I can't find my keys. Where are my keys? And they would say, oh, they're in the bedroom where you dropped them. Little things. It's not always the great big things. The things that aren't important, when there isn't much fear, when there isn't a whole lot of doubt, that's what built it up for me for trusting and having faith. I thank you so much for the sharing.
Thank you, Bobby, and you already are a great teacher of God, so trust that. You really are a great teacher of God. Thank you. All right, then, let's continue. Let's continue. So we've said that the work can be called decision by faith. It may seem difficult at first because some of the thoughts in your mind may seem very, very true, like the thought, I'm going to lose my house. But this is still a thought that you want to change. You want to move from fear to love and trust because of what you are. You are a creator, and this is a necessary shift you must make into miracle-mindedness if you want to begin to have different experiences in your life. Let's continue. Since fear is the greatest obstacle to the work, fear thoughts may come into the mind to stop you from doing the work. A fear thought may say, if you let this thought go, you are foolish. And I talked earlier about a grievance I had against someone that I thought was betraying me and others. And I talked about how, you know, lots of times course students feel, if I just let go of this thought, while he is still doing all that same stuff, I'm nothing but a doormat, right? Here I am letting go of the thought, but he's still betraying me. I'm nothing but a doormat. Well, what this is saying right here is this is the ego trying to get you to stop doing the work. This is the ego trying to get you to stop doing the work. It's saying if you let go of this thought, you're foolish. But that's just an ego trick. Or the ego might say, you will be hurt. If you just let go of this thought that, you know, something's going to go wrong and you're going to lose your house, if you just let go of that thought, guess what, dummy? You're going to lose your house. That's what the ego says. These are fear thoughts that come into the mind that get us to stop doing the work. And what we have to remember is who we are, what we are. We are creator. And if we listen to those thoughts, we're going to continue to send our creative power through the filter of fear, and we're going to continue to have those types of experiences, fearful experiences. Fearful thoughts in the mind. The ego is never going to stop attacking us in the mind if we continue to give our power to the ego. So we must remember what we are and be willing to practice the steps that Holy Spirit gave us in the first hour and shift our mind from the fear back over to the love and the trust. A fear thought may say, if you let this thought go, you are foolish, or you will be hurt. Or it may provide some other fear-based reason for not doing the work. This is a thought that you must do the work on. So when my thought tells me that if I just let go of this thought of betrayal while he's still out there doing the same stuff to me, I'm a doormat, that's the next thought I do the work on. The thought that I could be a doormat is the next thought I do the work on. Right there. Because that's the most recent thought in my mind. I always work with the thought that's in my mind now. This is a thought that you must do the work on. Look at this thought and ask, is this the light, love, and joy that I seek? The idea of being a doormat. Is this the light, love, and joy that I seek? You will see clearly that it is not, and then you must make the decision through faith to let that thought go so that you may continue the work. And then I love the way the Holy Spirit ends this. I urge you to do the work consistently. See it as your job. see it as your role here now. And of course, that's very consistent with what A Course in Miracles teaches us, that forgiveness is our only function. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share. All right, then, let's continue. The last piece that I brought, as I mentioned, I only brought three things with me tonight. The next one just came Friday, I think. I lose track of days now, but I do believe it was Friday morning. And as I mentioned to you all, what happened was I was with two different people this week, one on the phone and then this woman whose letter I read to you, both of which were listening to the ego consistently in the mind and not wanting to, and asking, you know, how do I stop listening to the ego? And I felt a clear prompt to take that to Holy Spirit. And then, as I mentioned, Friday morning, for the first time in a couple of months, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to grab your notebook, and I knew that that was my prompt to ask this question. You know, how do we stop believing the ego? So I grabbed my notebook on Friday morning, and I asked the question, and here's the question and the answer that I received. Question: why do we believe the ego when everything it says is untrue? How can we shift into not believing what it says? And here's the Holy Spirit's answer. I am glad you asked this question. Understanding the answer to this question is very important to realizing who you are. You listen to the ego because you want to. I know this may not seem true at the conscious level, but it is true, or you could not hear the ego at all. The ego is not real. It is nothing that could be heard if you did not give yourself the ability to hear it. This ability, which you give yourself, is best called imagination. But it is divine imagination, which can seem very real within the experience of imagination itself. Still, it is imagination. Just as a child imagines everything that happens in a game of imaginary play, you imagine everything the ego seems to say to you. And just as the child desires to imagine everything she imagines in her play, you desire to imagine everything the ego says to you. So you can really see this symbol in your mind. You can see a child playing some imaginary game, and no matter whether the game seems to be a game where the child is laughing or whether the child seems to be creating a game of pain, you know, where one doll is attacking another doll or hurting another doll, it doesn't really matter what the child is pretending. You know the child is desiring to pretend that experience. This is a desire to pretend that experience. And the Holy Spirit is saying the same thing is true of us. We listen to the ego because we want to. Everything that the ego says to us, we have desired. And this has to be true. This absolutely has to be true because you are the free Son of God. Nothing can happen to you that you have not desired. So just as the child desires to imagine everything she imagines in her play, you desire to imagine everything the ego says to you. This is important to accept. Denial of this truth only keeps you in the feeling of victim, which is the belief of being trapped in your own play. An imaginary child, a child in an imaginary game, trapped in the game because they forgot they're imagining it. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Denial of this truth only keeps you in the feeling of victim. Notice he doesn't say you are a victim. It only keeps you in the feeling of victim, which is the belief. Notice he does not say it's a fact, which is the belief of being trapped in your own play. As long as you hold to the idea of powerlessness, you surrender the idea of your power and remain trapped by your own choice. There's nothing the Holy Spirit is saying here that is not saying to you, you are the free Son of God. That is the content of this message. You are the free Son of God. You are the free Son of God. Begin to release the ego by accepting that you choose everything it says to you. Look at every fear and at every accusation it places in your mind and say to yourself, I chose this thought because I wanted to know this experience. Then ask yourself, what do I want now? And that is really not any different than what the Holy Spirit already taught us in those steps in the first hour when the Holy Spirit said, watch your thoughts in your mind. Do not fall asleep and accept them without seeing them. In other words, what the Holy Spirit asked us to do is to watch our minds and basically always asking ourselves, is this a thought that I want? Is this a thought that I want? You know, be alert to that. Be doing that at a very conscious level. It's the same thing that we heard in this last message when we were told to ask that in a different way. Is this the light, love, and joy that I seek? That's another way of saying, is this what I want? Recognize the thought that is in my mind now is one that I chose. We're talking about the past. It's one that I chose. But what do I want now? Do I want this thought now? Is this aligned with my true desire? Then Holy Spirit goes on to say, don't ask yourself this question too lightly. What do I want now? Do not ask this question too lightly. Don't let the answer come too quickly from the surface of your mind. Take time to go deep within to the core of your soul, to the center of your true heart, and ask, what do I want now? When you find the answer to this question, you will know it, because it will rise up with a recognition that will cause every cell in your body to stand with attention and sing. And this I understood as I was writing it is not something you have to do every time a thought comes into your mind. This is something that you do at some point and then you know. For example, I know the words that make every cell in my body stand up and sing. I've found that already. And really those words are to be only love, know only love, extend only love. That's what I want. I want to be only love, know only love, extend only love. And every time I say those words, I feel that. So that is what I want now. And if I have now gone into the core of my soul, gone into the center of my true heart, and I have found those words, then when a thought shows up in my mind, I can notice right away that is not what I want now. If I want to be only love, know only love, extend only love, I do not want to be blaming my brother for anything. So if that's a thought in my mind, I know it is not in harmony with my true desire, and I can choose to let it go. It's that simple. But we have to be very aware of what we want and very aware that we are creator, and we have to be making these decisions in harmony with ourself. We're only making decisions in harmony with ourself. So don't ask yourself this question too lightly. Don't let the answer come too quickly from the surface of your mind. Take time to go deep within to the core of your soul, to the center of your true heart, and ask, what do I want now? When you find the answer to this question, you will know it, because it will rise up with a recognition that will cause every cell in your body to stand with attention and sing. Once you have the answer to the question, what do I want now? Look back at the content of the ego thought in your mind. What is it trying to teach you? Is it teaching your consciousness that which you would have consciousness learn? If not, it is not a thought that you want now. It is the residual thought of an experience you chose before, but an experience you are choosing against now. So what Holy Spirit is telling us is if the thought is in your mind, if it's a guilt thought, a blame thought, because guilt and blame are the same, if there's a guilt and blame thought in your mind, then at one time you chose to have the experience of guilt and blame. But this is where the choose again comes in. Just because you wanted to have that experience before does not mean you want to have that experience now. So why would you just blindly reaccept the thought and continue your creative power through that filter and continue to create those experiences? Why would you do that if it's not what you want? So this is where you have to become more conscious. You have to do the conscious work. You have to realize, you have to be aware of what you want. You have to be aware of the content of the thought. And if the thought is not in alignment with what you want, this is the choose again. You say, I don't choose this now. I'm making a different choice now. And you are the Son of God. You can do that. You're the Son of God. You can do that. If this thought is not a thought that you want now, then it's a residual thought of an experience you chose before, but an experience you are choosing against now. With this realization in mind, remember that everything you experience comes to you through your choice. Everything you experience comes to you through your choice. Remember how you truly want to experience now. And with the power and love of God that backs every decision you make. That's really a cool statement too, because what that's really saying is if I do choose the guilt blame thought, the power and love of God is behind that. If I choose to believe in guilt, there is no real guilt, because the power and love of God is behind my choice to choose the guilt, to choose the experience of guilt, which means there is no real guilt. If I choose the experience of attack, the power and love of God is behind that. If I choose the experience of fear, the power and love of God is behind that. I am completely blessed in my choice. Completely blessed in my choice. But what I need to stop and ask myself is that the choice I want to be completely blessed in? Is this what I want? As the Son of God, is this what I am choosing now? Remember how you truly want to experience now. And with the power and love of God that backs every decision you make, look at the thought you do not want and say, I do not choose this thought today. This is a thought I do not want now because this is not how I would experience myself any longer. This is the choose again process. You're not denying that the thought is something you once wanted. You're not denying that, but you are choosing again now, and you can do that because you are the Son of God. The content of these words is important because they do not deny the fact that the thought is in your mind because you once chose to experience the feelings the thought has to offer. This is important because in not denying this, you are recognizing yourself. And now, with the true recognition of yourself in mind, you can choose again with confidence and assurance. And this will surely bring a smile of remembrance to your face. So by remembering what you are, by remembering that you are the Son of God, by remembering that you are not victim, by remembering that you are creating your own experience, by remembering who you are, you can choose again in confidence and assurance. The way of choosing not to listen to the ego may seem difficult and tiresome at first, but these feelings of change will not last. This is only the transition of choosing again. This is only the transition of choosing again. It takes some seeming effort to take a grand and divine motion and turn it in opposite direction. So notice, really, your creative power is fully being recognized here. Even your creative ability to create the experience of the ego. This is being called a grand and divine motion that you have made a grand and divine motion. And he's saying that it takes some seeming effort to turn a grand and divine motion into the opposite direction. But this effort is not a battle or a war, so do not slip into believing it is. It is a divine choice and a thing of beauty. It's a divine choice. Every time you choose to let go of the ego, it is a divine choice and a thing of beauty. The truth is, every time you choose to listen to the ego, it is a divine choice and a thing of beauty. No matter what you choose, it is a divine choice and a thing of beauty. This is why we really just have to get in touch with what we want. Respect your power as you push to turn your own motion in another direction. Be in awe of everything you are and everything you create. Be in awe of everything you are and everything you create. In this way, you choose with love. So, you know, when we heard this letter at the beginning of the hour and she was talking about, you know, how she is tortured by the ego, you know, we could really hear those words of suffering, you know, about how much she doesn't like the ego. And we all know this, right? We all know that when the ego is hammering our head, we don't like it. But just think about that for a moment. When the ego is hammering our head and we're not liking it, is that the energy of love? Or is that the energy of fear? When the ego is hammering my head and I'm not liking it, that's the energy of fear. So right here, the Holy Spirit is even teaching us to see that differently so that we turn our creative mind to the energy of love instead of the energy of fear. He's saying, be in awe of everything you are and everything you create. In this way, you choose with love. So even while you're letting go of the ego, even while you're saying, I don't want this experience of guilt and blame anymore, be in awe of the fact that you were able to create the experience of guilt and blame when it doesn't actually exist. You're not battling the ego. This is not a war. You're simply changing your mind about what you want, beloved Son of God. So be in awe of that, and that moves your mind into the energy of love. Your mind is only going to be with the energy of fear or the energy of love, and we are being taught to choose the energy of love. And in choosing with love, the Holy Spirit says, you continue to push the force of motion in the direction you would have it go now. Because in choosing to be in awe of your own creation, even as you're choosing to let it go, being in awe of it doesn't mean you have to keep it. You can be in awe of it and let it go. By being in awe of your own creation, even as you're choosing to let it go, you are choosing the energy of love and you are already shifting your creative power. And that was the end of the message that I received on Friday. So I think that we put these three messages together, we get a lot of answers about how to let go of the ego, including how to experience the ego in a way that is the energy of love. And as I promised, I will go to the Peace of God, and I will post links to all three of these messages there. And I will also post the recording link when I get done with that. But I have a very busy day tomorrow, so I don't really expect to get this recording posted until probably tomorrow evening. But if you go looking for it by Monday, it will be there. So before I go to our closing song, does anybody have anything they want to share? Anything at all? Yes, Joe, my love, please take the mic.
Hello, Regina. I just wanted to send this message of love to the person who posted that letter, that she will be all right, that rest assured that God never leaves her, that she will be all right, and that... And I wish for her the peace of God. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Cheryl, please take the mic.
Hey, don't you all love Joe's voice? He reminds me of Rocky. I wanted to comment on a couple things you said, Regina, and this was earlier in the talk, but I loved what you said about the work of choosing the Holy Spirit as being work, because I think it is. You know what I mean? I really think it is work. I think it's our job, and I think it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to choose God here on earth. And, you know, someone asked me one time, she says, well, Cheryl, why do you always talk about inner work? Aren't we supposed to just accept ourselves as we are? I'm like, yeah, do you do that? I'm like, that's what the inner work is about. You know, learning to accept ourselves as we are. And I have one question for you quickly before you end. I think we were on the same page with this, but I just wanted to ask you something. When you talked about the experience, and I really heard you say the same thing that I feel about it, so I'm just kind of asking you about this, but, you know, there are some students, some in religion and spirituality, not just the course, who, you know, when we say there's nothing that happens here that we did not choose, and how I read the course as saying, you know, for instance, let's say, you know, you were robbed or heaven forbid, raped or whatever. I don't think that we choose, I'd be interested on your commentary, Regina. I don't think that we choose, for instance, the, quote, experience in form. But what I do think, and this is what I heard you say as well, is that what we choose is the experience of seeing ourselves as a victim or seeing ourselves as a free son of God, free child of God. And that's how I read the course, is that it's not saying I chose this particular worldly form experience, but that I can look at any experience, because let's face it, even in the course says this is a world of problems, any experience I do experience in form, I can translate into a lesson from the ego or a lesson from the Holy Spirit. And basically, I thought I heard you say the same thing, and I just wanted you to comment on that if you want to. And again, thanks so much. I do think it's a lot of work. Love you, Regina.
Thank you, Cheryl. I love you, too. And yeah, you know, there's really two answers to that question. You know, and this is where, again, we get into that famous level confusion. But at the level where we experience ourselves, which is really the level most people are concerned about because that's where they experience themselves. At the level at which we experience ourselves, it's true we do not choose the form. We choose the energy. We choose the energy of fear. You know, we choose the experience of being a victim. So, yes, at this level, you know, I could be worried, for example, that I'm going to lose my house, and that's an energy of fear. The actual experience that comes in could possibly be a different experience. I might not see that exact match there. That's at the level of where we experience ourselves. At the level of true mind, okay, at the level of true mind, yes, form is written as a script, using the energies that we experience here. And at that level, our one mind does choose the experiences. But that means, for example, that, you know, if Regina is raped, it does not mean that Regina chose to be raped, which is why the Course says you are not responsible for that which is atoned for. You know, you're responsible to accept the atonement for yourself, but you are not responsible for that which is atoned for. Those specific experiences are not chosen at this level. But at the level of mind, where we are one, and where the script is being written, at that level, the specific form is chosen. So, two answers to the question. But when most people ask, they're concerned about the level of experience. And at the level of experience, we do not choose the form, we choose the energy. So there you go. Anything else? Are we ready for a tad bit of music? God. So this is a song from Karen Drucker. It's from her Song of Spirit 3 CD. And this is one of Jasmine's favorite songs. So let's listen to it.
I relax, let go, release and surrender. I relax, let go, release and surrender. Let go.